Amen. Preacher, thank you for allowing us to come and be part of your service. Take your Bibles this morning. And I tell you what, if you're not excited about being saved, then I don't know what's going to help you other than getting saved. Amen. Turn over to Ezekiel chapter 22. We'll read one verse and then you can be seated. Ezekiel chapter 22 this morning. Take your Bibles if you have them. And let's look there this morning, Ezekiel 22 and verse 30. The Bible says, "And I sought for a man among them that should make up the hedge and stand in the gap before me for the land, that I should not destroy it, but I found none." This is what the Lord said. You may be seated. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Lord, we do thank you, Lord, for allowing us to be here this morning. Lord, many of us, Lord, if we were continue to go in our way, Lord, we would be in hell today because we did not know you as Lord and Savior. But Lord, we know that your will is that all men be saved. All men turn to you in repentance and faith. And God, we do thank you for those that are here this morning that are saved. But Lord, if there's anyone here this morning that's not saved, I pray that you would also speak to them. We ask and pray in Christ's name. Amen. I was going to say a little bit before I got up here, but I remember coming here. And I'll just say this, and I'll talk more tonight. It was Brother Stennett Ballou was here and preaching in one of your mission revivals. And the Lord had me here, and I'll tell you what, this church was a blessing to me. We had just taken on being a missionary. I say that. The Lord called me, and we began to prepare at Tabernacle Baptist College in Greenville, South Carolina. And when you first starting out in the mission field, you don't know what to do exactly. But I tell you what, this church was one of the first ones to take us on for support. So thank you. And then let's look back in our passage. I just wanted to say that before I went too far. And so in Ezekiel here, in Ezekiel's day, there was trouble. There was a judgment was coming. There was physically and spiritually corrupt. They were corrupt in Israel. The Lord was looking for someone that would stand for right. Yeah. To make up the hedge. Someone to stand between Israel and that coming judgment. Right. The hedge symbolizes God's wall of protection. Yeah. We like walls. We have walls around us. They keep people out. They keep people in. I mean, you go to the prisons, you're thankful for walls because they keep them convicts from getting out. Amen. They keep us safe. And so, hey, in that day, there was a break in the wall. There was some gaps to be filled. The Lord was looking for someone that would spiritually stand in the gap in their day. Amen. To help make up the heads. A spiritual leader. A guide to Israel. And God is looking for that in our day. Yeah. We need some people to say, "Hey, God, I'll do it." Yeah, and I can't help to think about Charlie Kirk, and I don't know what kind of Christian he was, but he did stand for God. Right. We need someone that will stand for God. Yeah, just because you're saved and you're warming a church pew this morning doesn't mean you're standing for God like right. You need to. Right. We need to get out and do our part. Yeah. That's all I want to say about that. He needed a spiritual leader, a guide to Israel, someone to guide Israel to God, rather. Right. We need the same thing in our day. I remember, and just think about some examples this morning. Think about Abraham, how he interceded for Sodom and Gomorrah. Yes. And Genesis 18, if you want to look at it later. We remember Moses when he interceded for the Israelites over in Exodus 32. He said, "If thou wilt not forgive their sin, and if not, blot me, I pray thee, out of the book which thou hast written." That's serious. Yes, sir. He was serious about what he wanted to do for God. Amen. And I'll tell you, we need to be serious in our day. Yes. I remember a lady named Esther in the Bible. All you ladies, you say, what about a lady? Here's one. Esther interceded for Israel. She said, and this was the words in the Bible, and Esther 4:16, she said, and if I perish, I perish.
That's right.
Whatever happens to me is not going to take away my salvation.
Amen.
Charlie Kirk, he if anything, he got that message is continually to go out.
Yes.
People are say, I don't know that name, and they Google it, and his name's coming up, and those videos, whether you like them or not.
Right.
He talks about God, and he's pointing people to God.
Yes.
And that day, God needed someone to stand in the gap, but verse 30 says, but I found none.
Right.
They were in a mess. So what about our people? What about our people? We used to be one nation under God. We used to honor that flag. But now that nobody even cares much about it like they used to.
Right.
Preachers used to be, pastor, they used to honor, if you were a preacher, they would take the hat off.
Right.
If they had the beard in the hand or whatever it was, they'd at least try to hide it because they had respect for the man of God. But not in our day.
Right.
People don't have that respect anymore. We don't even look up to older people anymore. We have a problem. We have a problem with our youth. We have a problem. That problem is we need Christ.
Amen.
Many do not need Christ, do not know Christ, but they need Christ. So we're living in a dark day in our land, and 2 Timothy 3:1 says it like this. It says, this know also that in last days perilous times shall come. Dangerous times, and no doubt they are coming. Whether we're ready or not, nobody likes them. It says, for men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truth breakers, false accusers, incontinent fears, despisers of those that are good.
Yes, sir.
Because we stand for good, people don't like what we have to say.
Right.
Because we stand for God, they don't like what we have to say.
Right.
But who are we saying it for? Is it for us? No, it's for God.
That's right.
So continue on. Stand in your gap. Whatever it is that you're doing for God, don't forget about what you're doing for God.
Amen.
People rejoice in the man that died. We need God in our country. No doubt we need God. Goes on to say in 2 Timothy 3:4, these people in last days, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof. From such, turn away. So we're living in perilous times is what I want to say this morning. We're getting away, far away from God. We have some gaps in our day, church, that we need to stand in. Who is going to say, Lord? Whatever is needed around Island Ford Baptist Church, let me do it for you.
Amen.
Let me do it for you, God. Who's going to do that?
Right.
Around where you live, who's going to go and be a witness to the lost?
Right.
Who's going to stand in the gap in our nation? I'm in Africa most of the time.
Right.
I'm trying to stand in the gap over there. Thanks to you sending me. Amen.
Amen.
Keeping me there.
Amen.
But who's going to do that? Who's going to stand in the gap of prayer? Some of you praying ladies, I remember in the old days, I had many older ladies praying for me.
Amen.
But now many have gone on to be with the Lord.
Yeah.
And I tell you, there's a big difference now because I can say you can feel it, amen.
Mm-hmm.
You know when people are praying for you. I mean, who's going to take up prayer? Who's going to get down on bended knee for God?
Amen.
Warning the lost. Who's going to go out on visitation? Who's going to go out in the real world? We should be passing out tracts all the time, being the best witness we can, and it wouldn't even have to have an organized visitation.
Right.
But we need to be reminded.
Yes.
I'm reminding you tonight, who's going to go and warn the lost? or today, this morning. Who's going to stand in the gap in this church? Who's going to keep giving for the Lord that missionaries can stay on their fields? Who's gonna go? You say some of you, I'm 67, 70s. I don't know how old many people are in here. Maybe you have some in your 80s. I've seen missionaries get called when they're in their late 50s.
Amen.
And they're still at it. Who's gonna go? You had a missions conference not long ago. Who's gonna go and tell those across the ocean that have never heard?
Right.
Who's going to go and be the voice for God? You say God is his own voice, but God uses men, women, boys and girls to get that message out to a lost and dying world. Right. Who's going to do that? We need that in our day. Yep. Let's look in the scriptures. Look at verse 1 of chapter 22. It said, moreover, the word of the Lord came unto me saying, now thou son of man, wilt thou judge? Wilt thou judge the bloody city? Yea, shall they show her all her abominations? Then say thou, thus saith the Lord God, the city sheddeth blood in the midst of it, that her time may come and maketh idols against herself to defile herself. Thou art become guilty in thy blood that thou hast shed, and hast defiled thyself in thine idols which thou hast made. And thou hast caused thy days to draw near, and art come even unto thy years. Before have I made thee a reproach unto the heathen, and a mocking to all countries. What kind of idols do we have that is causing us and our nation to be sinful? What do we have in our life that's coming between us and God and serving him and standing in the gap we need to do?
Yes, sir,
we need to get, think about cell phones. I love a cell phone, but it can be used for good or can you be used for evil?
Amen.
Amen. Some of us are worried more about money and we're going to work as many days as we can and we're going to get that money. We don't know how long we have in this life.
That's right.
You can name any kind of idol you want to put in there. Thou art guilty in thy blood, verse 4 says. Look at verse 6. Behold, the princes of Israel, every one were in thee to their power to shed blood. In thee have they set light by father and mother. They're disrespectful to parents.
Right.
And the midst of thee have they dealt by oppression with the stranger. And thee have they vexed the fatherless and the widow. Thou hast despised mine holy things and hast profaned my Sabbaths. In thee are men that carry tales to shed blood. In thee that eat upon the mountains, in the midst of thee they commit lewdness. In thee have they discovered their father's nakedness. In thee have they humbled her that was set apart for pollution. And one hath committed abomination with his neighbor's wife. And another hath lewdly defiled his daughter-in-law. And it goes on and it goes on. Verse 12, and thee have they taken gifts to shed blood. Thou hast taken usury and increase. And thou hast greedily gained of thy neighbors by extortion. And has, notice this, forgotten me, saith the Lord God. That's our problem. We have forgotten about God. Our generation has not heard about God like they needed to. And the ones that know about God have not given the message out like they needed to.
Right.
And now we have a generation that is coming after us. They're forgetting about God. They don't even want to know about God.
Right.
Thou and has forgotten me, saith the Lord. All this reads like an evening newspaper, and our new, I say newspaper. I'm a little old, as you can tell. A news article, I'll put it that way.
Right.
In our day, we've got all kinds of stuff. Stabbings on buses.
Yep.
Was it someone in, up in, I don't know, I can't keep up with all of them, there's so many of them. We're living in dark days is what I'm saying,
right,
folks. Notice that the problems of the people in verse 25, or verse 24, look there. Son of man, say unto her, thou art the land that is not cleansed, nor rained upon in the day of indignation. Notice verse 25, there is conspiracy of her prophets in the midst thereof. Like a roaring lion ravening the prey. They have devoured souls. They have taken the treasure and precious things. They have made her many widows in the midst thereof. These corrupt men, these prophets are like an evangelist, if you will. The people was corrupt. Their spiritual leaders were corrupt. Whatever's going on is not good. Kind of like in our day. I think about Ghana, and I've been there 8 years or 7 years and a 1 year furlough in between there. So 7 years there. We have some religious people, and they care all about the money and nothing else. They use their people as merchandise.
Yes, sir.
It's very sickening.
Yes, sir.
I grew up in church, but I respected the way of God.
Amen.
But I'll tell you that, a lot of people don't respect God anymore.
Right.
Notice her priest in verse 26. Her priests have violated my laws. This would be like the preachers.
Yeah.
Mine holy things, they have put no difference between the holy and the profane. Neither have they showed difference between the unclean and the clean. And have hid their eyes from my Sabbath, and I am profaned among them. They were mishandling or desecrating the things of the holy God that we know. They were departing from the things of God.
Yes.
Yeah, I can say in our day, men are departing from the things of God.
Yes.
Men of God don't preach like they used to in some places.
Right.
They worried about the crowds instead of Christ. They're not worried about what we need to preach on. They're worried about building that money. And I know it's serious when the offerings aren't coming in like they need to. You get a little trouble, you get a little worried. But I'll tell you this, don't start doing stuff contrary to God.
Amen.
Notice her princes in verse 27. That's like the politicians.
Yep.
So her princes in the midst thereof are like wolves ravening the prey to shed blood and to destroy souls, to get dishonest gain. It sounds like in our day too, don't it? They are selfish and they want to deceive is what it is. And her prophets have daubed them with untempered mortar, seeing vanity and divining lies unto them, saying, thus saith the Lord God, when the Lord hath not spoken. They were building with lies. They were building with bad materials, so to speak. Verse 29, and I could tell you about walls that we had around our compound in Ghana. It just fell one night because they were built with mostly sand and not enough cement. We have to build things on God. We can't build things on our flesh.
Amen.
We can't build things on something that's not strong. And that's what they were doing here. They had, it says, the land have used oppression and exercised robbery and have vexed the poor and needy. Yea, they have oppressed the stranger wrongfully. Dishonesty was everywhere. Again, in verse 30, we see the Lord's plea. And I sought for a man among them that should make up the hedge and stand in the gap before me for the land, that I should not destroy it, but I found none. Turn to Ephesians. Ephesians chapter number 4 this morning. Ephesians chapter number 4. I want to look at the prescription for this plea that the Lord has given.
Amen.
The prescription for the Lord's plea. How can we stand in the gap in our day? How can we do what we need to do? Look at chapter 4, verse 11. Verse 11 says, And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers. We need preachers, hallelujah. We need people that are doing their job. We need people that are getting the gospel message out in our day. We need evangelists that will stand right and will stand true and will go and help preachers to stay where they need to be. Sometimes an evangelist comes in not so they can preach to you, but so they can preach to the pastor. The pastor gets preached out when he's over, and I was preached out when I left Ghana. But I'll tell you this, he needs that encouragement. And that if the evangelist can't stay right and the preachers can't stay right, how are we going to stay right? We need teachers.
Amen.
This lady that testified this morning back here, we need people that'll have a heart for God, a heart for their classes, Amen. A heart to get out what they need to get out. And you say, they're not preachers. No, they're teachers.
Right.
But we need teachers.
Amen.
There's lots of great men of God that Sunday school teachers won them to Christ.
Right.
And I'll tell you that, we need that.
Amen.
We need people here that can stand for God in these classes. We need someone that can do that in our day. Why? Look at verse 12. For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying, the building up of the body of Christ. Like Pastor was saying, hey, we need to know the word of God so we can use it. I'm not saying if we don't know the word of God, anybody is going to affect us in what they're saying. These videos of about the giants and all this other stuff. You know, if you watch Discovery Channel and trying to get your biblical information from these, you know, you're not going to get them.
Right.
But we need people that will stand for God, stand in the gap for God. I don't know what God wants out of you. He wants you surely to be evangelizing and helping with that.
Yes.
He wants you to help others, invite them at least to the inside of this auditorium so they can hear from the teachers and the preacher. There's big gaps that to fill. Pastors, big gap. Evangelists are big gaps. Missionaries are big gaps. Teachers are big gaps. But there's also small gaps that we can fill. What he mentioned earlier about a clerk, or I can't remember what position that was. That's a gap in the church that needs to be filled in our day. That helps the preacher to do his job. So there's gaps for preachers and gaps for members. Look at verse 13. It says here, till we all come, this is our goal, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Our goal is to do a work for God, unified together, strong in the faith, built up. And that's what God wants us to do. A foundation that's built right will not fall as easy as a foundation that's not built right. And whenever I came here, it was a long time ago, but I tell you, you're still going. So you're still doing right. You're still standing in the gap. This morning, I want you to know that you got to continue doing that. Continue in what you're doing. Because you're doing good. Amen. I'm not fussing at you. You're doing good. Amen. But that's our goal. Our goal is to get unified and built up strong. Look at verse 14. That we henceforth, as from this time on, be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie to wait to deceive. We need to know God's word and we need to live for him in our day.
Amen.
Do we not?
Yes.
But speaking in truth and love may grow up unto him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. We're the body, he's the head, amen. Verse 16, from whom the whole body fitly jointed together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. We have a world that's sin sick and needs Christ.
Yes.
What are we to do? Well, we have the head. The head is Christ, of course, but the head of this church is the pastor, right? But really, it's Christ.
Right.
We know that. But we're part of the body,
right.
All right?
Yes.
We have legs, we have fingers.
Yep.
My cousin's husband lost his legs recently. Those are important to him.
Yes.
Okay, and I won't go there, but I'll tell you this. Every member is important to that body.
Yes.
Without you, and I can point at all of you,
yep.
Without you doing what you do, our body would be a little disabled, wouldn't it?
Yes, sir.
Amen. So what is God, and I'm going to try to wrap this up. I'm going to get the preacher to come and close us out. I was going to close us out, but my throat's getting a little dry. But I'll tell you this, we live in a sin-sick world. We have the body of Christ. That's us believers. What are we going to do to stand in the gap for God in our day? I want you to turn one more place, and then I'm going to ask the preacher to come and close us out. Turn over to Acts chapter 9. Acts chapter 9. And I love the Apostle Paul, one of my favorites in the Bible. Acts 9, verse 6. The Bible says, and he, this was Paul on his road to Damascus, and whether you believe he got saved that instant or he got saved later down the road when he reached the house, we don't know exactly, but I'll tell you this, this is when he said this. I believe he got saved there, but you know. Verse 6 says, and he trembling and astonished said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? He had been working on the other side, amen.
Yeah.
And when we get saved, some of you might be here this morning, you've been recently saved. You've been working for the other side.
Right.
You've been working, it wasn't God's side, you were helping the devil out.
Right. Yeah.
But now that you're on God's side this morning, what will thou have me to do, Lord?
Amen.
Needs to be a question from you, amen.
Right.
What will thou have me to do? As a believer this morning, we need to ask that to ourselves. Lord, what will you want me to do in my life?
Right.
What can I do to help out the Great Commission? What can I do to help the body of Christ to go forward? What can I do that one day when I stand in front of you, that you'll say, well done,
amen,
thy good and perfect. Well done, I can't even think of it. Well done, thy good and perfect servant. I don't remember how it goes. Anyways, well done. I want to hear it well done one day.
Amen.
What can I do for you, God? We need to ask that. Pastor, you come and close us out. How you see fit. This morning, I hope you'll ask that question.
Stand on feet.
Thank you,
preacher. They come with a song.